Today on City Wrestling Radio, the FTC declares non-compete clauses a thing of the past. We get cheesy with Bill Goldberg, and we have a new Women's World Champion in WWE. All that and so much more this week on City Wrestling Radio. It's City Wrestling Radio, April 24th, 2024. I'm your host, Corey Smith, being joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Jose Oseguera. How are you today,
sir? I'm doing good. Thought of the week.
Well, thank you. I won thought of the week. I know I thought I would be the thought of the week, but thank you. I appreciate it.
You're up there. You're top five. My thought of the week is... why is it that this week's Raw, I was fast forwarding through matches and going into storyline?
Well, it really seemed weird. Like a lot of it was storyline driven, you know? Mm-hmm. And even the matches were kind of like, okay, they kind of played second nature.
Exactly. They were totally secondary, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But other than that, you know, we're coming out of, we have a new Women's World Champion, Becky Lynch. Mm-hmm. Which is it's cool to see her on top. It's weird seeing anyone else hold that title now. That's not Rhea. Mm-hmm.
Definitely an audible called.
Yes,
making calls on demand, on the fly. We'll see where this takes us.
Yeah. So we will get into all that with Monday Night Raw, but first I got a couple things I want to get into first. So recently, you know, there were a bunch of releases from WWE, and Cameron Grimes is actually the latest name to the release superstars. And mm-hmm. he took to social media to express his love for the company. That's the only thing he's ever wanted to do, but added that if he needs to go somewhere to, do what he has to do to make WWE know what they missed out on, he will. Also released from the company this last week, we have Jinder Mahal, Xia Li, Veer, who's no longer coming. I guess he's going. Sangha, yeah. Zion Quinn, and Von Wagner, of all people, which I thought that was a little strange. First off, Jose, what do you think of these releases?
Do you know, it happens. I'm sorry for those guys for losing the jobs. Never cool when you lose a job. I've been, on the receiving end of a firing once or twice. It's never fun. Good luck to all person's future endeavors. Ooh, I really hate using that term now.
You got Jinder Mahal, who is with the company for, how long now?
Sure, and he hasn't been used for half the time.
True. Veer and Sangha, who apparently kind of got, pulled in with the gender vortex, is what I'll call it.
Yeah.
Xia Li, who, really wasn't showing much improvement.
Yeah.
Zion Quinn, who I forgot worked there.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, Von Wagner was the one that surprised me because they've been kind of using him, in NXT recently. Mm-hmm. And word on the street, the internet wrestling community street, is that he was like, so these people were let go because their lack of being used on the main roster, and all these people were considered main roster superstars. Now, if you remember, Von Wagner was drafted the last WWE draft as free agent.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they used him on TV a few times. I believe, was it with one of the general managers at one point, or with Adam Pearce? I can't remember, but he kind of played like a bodyguard role for a second, before coming back and doing the whole Robert Stone thing. So I definitely see a lot of potential for Von Wagner and another company, especially one not like AEW, but more like, Impact.
Sure.
I think you do really well.
TNA.
Oh, yeah. TNA. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
He'll be on TNA's Impact. Their weekly show is called Impact.
Okay.
What do you see these, like, I don't know, Xia Li, I don't see her going anywhere.
Indie dates, maybe. Yeah, it would be good to see her go to Stardom. That'd be nice.
Where do you see Jinder go?
Jinder? Yeah, that's really tough because I don't think he fits the AEW mold. TNA, yeah, definitely an option. Definitely. Maybe go the way of Alberto Rios and, you know, travel the circuit. Maybe go spend some time in Mexico. That'd be cool. Yeah. You know,
I want to see Jinder. I want to see Jinder go and pick up, go do New Japan with Nick Namath. You know,
yeah.
Him and Dolph running through on the World Tag League. No, but just, you know, I think he could learn a lot from kind of doing the Drew McIntyre thing. You know,
okay,
going out on the independent circuit. You know, getting a little beefier and then coming back after with all this experience.
Oh, he'll be a good Ring of Honor fit.
Who? Jinder?
Jinder, yeah.
Well, I mean, that means he would be in AEW.
Kind of AEW light.
Tony's got to book it. Tony's got to book the Jinder and Hook match now. We can have it now.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. We can.
And I think we might be able to have it this week, Jose.
Yes, and there's a reason why.
Because usually, you know, after these guys are released, you know, we're talking like, where are they going to go? Just like we did. But this time, there's no caveat. There's no
90-day wait.
90-day, 60-day compete clause. Because now, non-compete clauses are a thing of the past. Because on Tuesday, the FTC made a huge step forward in the labor movement, and more so for recently released WWE superstars, as now they have banned non-compete agreements within the U.S., you know, excluding a few exceptions. This is per The Hill. The Federal Trade Commission voted 3-2 on Tuesday to ban non-compete agreements that prevent tens of millions of employees from working for competitors or starting a competing business after they have a job, from fast food workers to CEO. The FTC estimates 18% of the U.S. workforce is covered by non-compete agreements. That's around 30 million people. The final rule would ban new non-compete agreements for workers and require companies to let current and past employees know that they won't enforce the previous ones. Companies will also have to throw out existing non-compete agreements for most employees, although in a change from the original proposal, the agreements must remain in place for senior executives.
Makes sense. I guess
Robert Kraft can't just leave Kraft and go to Heinz, you know, the next day, which that would be a shocker right there.
Yeah, The Rock can't go to AEW the next day.
But this is like a huge thing because, you know, these guys are, I presumably, all those names, that, you know, Zion Quinn, Jinder Mahal, they could show up on Dynamite Wednesday.
They're available to work as of today. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's going to be crazy to see what happens going forward. I'm sure WWE will, you know, change their contracts in a certain way to be like, it's whatever they have to do to have their legal asses covered.
I mean, it's as simple as taking people off of TV for a month or two and have them on the contract collecting money via, you know, Jinder Mahal.
Yeah. And so that's the thing, is that part of this is that if you are going to have like some sort of non-compete, that you would have to pay the employee too during that non-compete. So while, you know, you may hear this, you may have one of these, you know, in California, remember that this is a right to work state. So, I thought it was weird, because like, why haven't these non-compete clauses been challenged before under California law? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if one state's able to, so on and so forth. But it's exciting to see what's going to happen with these guys. Did anything you wanted to add to this, Jose?
No, this is actually very good for pro wrestling, because we're going to see some fast moving action when it comes to regards to, you know, signing talent, surprises on a new show. Back in the day, non-compete clauses, you'd get something where Rick Rude would show up on two shows on one night, you know, Raw and Nitro. So we're going back to the days of that. If you don't have a live show, good luck.
Exactly. Because like, man, somebody's going to try somehow that's going to end up. Somebody's going to try to pull the Rick Rude.
Yeah.
And show up with on one show with a beard, the other show with a mustache.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be pure chaos.
Yeah.
But it's going to be fun. It's great.
It's good chaos. I mean, that was when wrestling was the most fun. when you never knew who would show up on a Monday night.
Yeah. Yeah. So I hope, you know, wrestlers don't get screwed by this. I hope this, they somehow, like, there's not a way that they can get excluded. I did reach out to multiple labor lawyers who I reached out to them later in the night. So, you know, haven't heard back from them yet.
Everybody's, but, you know, picked in. Yeah.
Exactly. So I will, once I get a little bit more on this and learn a little bit more, I will keep you guys posted on a social media, Instagram, Twitter, X, whatever. Check it out. Search City Wrestling Radio. Anyways, next up, Jose, would you like some cheese? Would you like some cheese today? Some wine, some cheese?
Some wine. Well, we're about to get some wine.
We're about to get some wine and cheese because Bill Goldberg. Yeah, you know, Mr. William Goldberg, America's favorite dad, not ours, though.
Oh, no.
Recently talked about why he won't be signing with AEW, stating the product is just a little too cheesy for his taste.
Okay, Bill. Okay.
Goldberg sat down with 93.7, The Ticket, last week. And when asked about working with AEW, this is what he said. He says, I have talked to them a number of times throughout the past, but this is where you're going to get the most blunt answer you're going to get from me. The product is too cheesy. It doesn't deserve to have a, well, I mean, whatever.
Wait a minute. I thought he was going to be blunt. Oh, come on.
He continues. He says, if there was a comparable viable option as a competitor that would allow me to still look at myself in the mirror after I was a member of their roster, yeah, it would be a consideration, but not a chance.
Okay. I know what happened here.
So Jose, what do you think of Goldberg's comments?
Okay. First of all, I smell Munster. Yeah. I smell bull cheese. First of all. Second of all, you know what I think happened?
What?
I think Tony Khan was like, okay, look, we'll bring you on, but you have to play the coach character from the Goldbergs. You have to be the mentor to the young guys. You have to be the guy that pumps everybody up and rah-rah. You're like, no way, I want to hit the ring. No, Billy, check it out. You're going to be a coach. But that's not viable. I can't look at myself in the mirror because of that. Okay, well, no, sorry, not sorry.
But this is not Glow, okay? AEW's not Glow. And while I look at it, sometimes I'm like, yeah, the Young Bucks can be a little cheesy at times, you know? But, like, where did this guy come up in? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, look at the company he started out in.
Yeah, and AEW's based more on reality side of things. They're less goofy than most promotions. They offered him the coaching gimmick, I'm telling you. he didn't like it.
I mean, I have no one way or another. I don't know who said what to anyone, but
did they even have meetings?
This kind of, to me, this reeks of not Havarti, but this reeks of Eric Bischoff. I don't know why, but I get that feeling that it's just like they spoke one day. And, you know, they talked about some stuff. Eric went on because Eric, like, he doesn't, according to him on his podcast, he doesn't hate AEW. Okay.
Sure. Okay.
Okay. But he does seem to trash it an awful lot. Well, I mean, so do we. But, you know, we also love it. You can't trash AEW if you don't love AEW.
There you go.
That's a quote from a movie. A good movie at that.
Yeah. Very good.
But yeah, no, it's just, I don't know, man. This guy came up in WCW. He was involved in some of the cheesiest stuff. Wasn't he like in the whole like Tank Abbott and the boy band stuff? And like,
oh, I don't remember, but yeah, maybe.
I don't know, man. Goldberg in WCW is prime cheese, you know?
Oh,
and
yeah.
AEW, come on. Like, yeah. WWE, I think, is cheesier at times, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So I wonder what this really is stemming from. And because if you think about it, too, Bill Goldberg is also the guy who was, like, complaining about Asuka, calling her Asuka, referring to her as some Japanese chick.
He doesn't keep up with the industry.
No.
He read Asuka's name and was like, Asuka.
Yeah.
No, he doesn't keep
up. Who the heck's Asuka?
Yeah. AEW, what is that? He doesn't know what's going on. You know, he never liked wrestling to begin with.
You know what I think he'd be perfect for?
Coaching. Sorry.
No, you know, what was that movie? It's called like Hog Wild. It was like with John Travolta and like the guy from King of Queens, Adam Sandler, and like they were riding Harleys through America.
Oh,
they were like,
four dads,
like out riding Harleys through the country. And then like they like come across like an actual gang of like bikers. Yeah. I want to see Bill Goldberg be the bad guy in number two or number three, whatever they have to do. I think he'd be the perfect like biker gang leader, but for a kid's movie.
Yeah, exactly. That type of intimidating. Yeah.
That kind of cheese. That's what I think of when I think of Bill Goldberg. Yeah. You know, come on. AEW, that's above Bill. Let's be honest at this point.
Yeah.
And he came back. He fought the Fiend. Like, that wasn't cheesy. I love Bray Wyatt. Yeah. I love you. Don't get me wrong, but that was cheesy.
Yeah. You're trying to tell me that he doesn't look at R-Truth and go, there might be a little bit of cheese in there. You know, we love R-Truth here, by the way, just so you guys know.
We do love R-Truth.
We like our cheese on our sandwiches.
So, speaking of R-Truth, let's go to Monday Night Raw from this week. I don't know. Like I said earlier, I don't think it was that eventful of a show.
It wasn't. That's because you have a draft coming up. So, and you know, they're playing. Let's fill in some gaps because we have a whole bunch of injuries. Let's you know, reboot everything. They're in the middle of a writing revamp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and. Yeah, so it's just, to me, it's like, they're focusing on next week. But it kicked off with a Jey Uso promo for some reason. I don't have the notes for this. But he cut a promo. He was talking about Damian Priest, talking about his upcoming title match at, Backlash?
Yes.
And I still think it's kind of strange. It's a Jey Uso versus Damian Priest in a main event of a PLE.
Well, it's a co-main event. To be fair,
is Cody AJ. Okay. Then we get Awesome Truth defeating DIY to retain their world tag team titles. We had the Truth crushing finale to Gargano. Miz pins Gargano. And after the match, Gargano shakes hands with the Miz and R-Truth, but Tommaso Ciampa, he refuses and walks away.
Hey, don't heel turn on me yet.
You think he's heel turning on Gargano or on just heel turn for both of them?
Yeah, you know, we'll see at the draft. Maybe they get split up for all we know.
It could happen. I mean, they're already setting seeds of who's going to go where.
Didn't it just get new intro music too?
Oh, Raw?
Ciampa, DIY.
Oh, DIY. Yeah, I guess when they got brought up to the main roster from NXT, they did.
Yeah.
I hate that new music, man.
Yeah, it's not very memorable.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things going around about these new musicians coming up with these entrances.
Dude, I don't know what it is, but they've got to get Mike Johnson to come back or get the CFO dollar sign guy.
You need a variety of guys. Like Io Sky's music is awesome, but Bayley's is kind of boring.
Well, I mean, you got like, I think Io's is coming from the CFO dollar sign era, The Bayley stuff is like the newer stuff coming from whoever. I think it's like, is it Def Rebel or something like that?
Something like that.
And it's just like one or two tones. It's like a bunch of tones, like dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun. Damn, you guys are lazy. So,
opposed to actual song, yeah.
Yeah.
So then backstage we have Judgment Day. They're talking, you know, Damian Priest is just kind of ripping in to the rest of Judgment Day, into Dominic Mysterio saying, like, what happened last week? You know, what's going on here? Why are you hurt? You know,
why is he hurt?
I got hurt, I think, SmackDown last week.
Was it? He didn't go on the Euro Tour, huh?
Maybe he did go on the Euro Tour.
Yeah, okay.
But he was hurt, and then all of a sudden, his match with he was going to have with JD McDonagh versus Ricochet and Andrade turned into Santos Escobar. and JD McDonagh versus Ricochet and Andrade, which was very strange.
Yeah, it feels like they're coming up with some new Mexican alliance coming up soon.
Yeah, no, I could see that. Yeah. But afterwards, you know, Dominic turns around and who walks right up to Dominic?
Oh,
Liv Morgan.
Mm-hmm. Are they in cahoots? Is he angry at her? Is she angry at him? What will happen?
I personally don't think anyone is angry. I think she's going to steal Dominic from Rhea.
I think so too, but I think ultimately it's going to be a double flip where Rhea lured you in with Dom and Dom was in on it the whole time.
How can you resist that charming mullet of his and that pencil and thin mustache?
Ooh, that new mustache is looking saucy.
you know, I do love somebody put a picture of him next to, like, was it Lars Ulrich of Metallica from like the early 80s. Dead on resemblance.
Twins.
Yes. Next up, we get the announcement of NXT Battleground going to the UFC Apex.
Right. Cool.
Do you watch UFC?
I have no idea what that is.
I think it's just like the rich man's. So I think it's where they went to do stuff during the pandemic. Remember they had their own like facility. It looks, you know, from what they showed, it looks pretty small. It says apparently they can hold 1,000 people.
Dude, it's just the UFC's version of NXT's arena.
Performance center or whatever.
Yeah.
So that makes me think that PC's moving to Vegas.
Oh,
I mean, it would make sense on that end. On the other end, I don't know. I think they'd probably get more tax breaks in Florida. I don't know.
100%.
Maybe they might get more in Vegas because it's Vegas. They might, you know, try to get them in somehow.
There's probably some entertainment clause. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, we'll see. Next up, we have Gunther. He comes out, his return to TV after losing the Intercontinental title. He comes out, and at first, he thanks Sammy for beating him at WrestleMania because he said a target was on his back the entire time as champion for 666 days. And then Gunther declares himself for the Royal Rumble, or not the Royal Rumble, sorry, the King of the Ring. Probably will declare himself for the Royal Rumble too and win.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. He's winning King of the Ring. Yeah. My pick.
Yeah. I'm already locking that down, that bet down, because they were showing the King of the Ring promo like right before he came out. And I've noticed they try to do that. Well, they'll try to, you know, play a video or something. And it's like, oh, the world title match coming up this weekend between this guy and this guy. And then they'll cut to like the third guy, you know, and that guy gets involved anyway.
Yeah. And of course, the reigning king comes out.
Yeah. That's crazy. He's still the reigning king. Wasn't it like 2 years ago?
That's the last time they had a King of the Ring. Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. So the reigning king, King Xavier, comes out and kind of runs down Gunther and Imperium. And I love how Gunther tries to call him. He goes, okay, calm down, Clown King. Calm down. Okay. So then we have Imperium versus New Day, with New Day getting the win after the match. Ludwig, you know, he is playing this up and you know it's coming, because he's sitting there like hugging Vinci, because, you know, New Day gets the pin on Vinci. Yeah. And Ludwig Kaiser's hugging him, and then all of a sudden he throws him into that LED board and beats him up and walks to the back, and Gunther kind of gives him a nice job. Kid.
Yeah.
And so
he was giving words of encouragement to him. That's when he knew the turn was coming.
He was like,
okay, Vinci, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's all right, man.
It definitely reminded me of the Ciampa Gargano turn the first time. Where, you know, it was kind of like they were kind of hugging, and then all of a sudden you see Ciampa whisper something into Gargano's ear, and then he throws him right into the LED board. Exactly. Yeah. Like that, actually.
Yeah.
So I wonder what's going to happen with, Giovanni Vinci.
He'll be gone for a little bit, and then he'll come back as GOV.
Yeah, but like, is he going to be the Italian fashionista?
He'll have a goatee, long hair.
I mean, if he can grow hair, most guys who, you know, shave their head, are it's for a reason.
Yeah, that's true.
So next up, we have Drew McIntyre coming out to cut a promo, and then we get Sheamus coming out to the ring to interrupt McIntyre's promo. I'll give it to Sheamus. He is, I didn't say it last week because I didn't want to. I felt bad. But Sheamus looked a little hefty last week. And, well.
Burger after burger, that's why.
He admitted to it. He started going to social media saying, yeah, guys, you know, like, I look a little heavier right now, you know. And wasn't taking it, you know, hard, or at least not in the public eye. Mm-hmm. And he comes out this week. I swear to God, that guy was 5 pounds lighter than last week. And you could see it on him.
Well, I think this guy knows how to, you know, cut weight fast.
Yeah. And good for him, because I want to see him, you know, at least be himself and be whatever weight he wants to be. But at the same time, he's a wrestler, and I'd like to see Mr. Big Buff Sheamus and not the Stay Puft Marshmallow.
Just do a burger instead of burger after burger after burger.
Yeah, that's what Drew McIntyre. He says, he goes, you know, because recently before you left, it was banger after banger after banger. And now it's just burger after burger after burger. I do love how Sheamus took the social media. He goes, when I win the King of the Ring for the second time, you can call me that, and has a picture of the Burger King.
Nah.
So he's taken in stride. So they kind of go back and forth, and McIntyre says, you know, I'm going to be out here for your match to watch your back, Sheamus.
Right? And I was like, what?
What was just weird, because he had a match. Because, like, I don't know. I just found they're trying to do different things for the sake of being different now.
Yeah.
Like, McIntyre saying, okay, I'm just going to hang out here, instead of just, like, him leaving during the commercial break. Or, like, even at the beginning of the show, when we have Michael Cole and Pat McAfee in the ring, kind of running down the show like they would at the commentary table.
Yeah.
But doing it in the ring. And that felt really weird.
It did, yeah.
Like, I felt like I was being talked to by, like, the principal and, like, the student counselor. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. And then they did this weird thing where when they were done, they were like, oh, I guess we go back to our chairs now? Like, I think they brought it up. And that's just, okay, but McAfee has issues. We know that. He doesn't know when to shut up. I'm sorry. Great talker, but he doesn't know when to stop.
I like how he almost ruins the Men's Warehouse ad, like, every time.
yeah.
Like, he's like, oh, where'd you get that suit, Michael Cole? He's like, Men's Warehouse. That's where you get all your suits from. Da-da-da. He's like, yeah, that suit looks great on you, I guess. I don't know. Anyways, this match. Sheamus defeating Shinsuke Nakamura. Sheamus, like I said, he came back looking great. Did hit a white noise. What's up?
Shinsuke can't buy a bucket.
Oh, what do you mean?
Like, he can't get a win off of anyone nowadays. He's lost like 1,000 times in the past 1,001 matches.
I think he's more concerned about surfing and donuts.
Yeah. We have this conversation every week. Yeah.
Because that's all Shin wants is surfing and donuts. Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. If I ever see his name get released, that's when I'm going to be like, yo.
Yeah.
That was missed opportunity right there.
Yeah. Cody. But
his heyday is kind of has come and gone in WWE.
Yeah, and I mean, it's so many resets that it just hurt him.
Yeah.
AEW, here we come. Non-compete.
Shin gets Sheamus down, goes for the Kinshasa, but Sheamus hits Shinsuke with the bro kick out of nowhere, gets the pin and the win. Next up, we have Kathy Kelly backstage with Sami Zayn. Sammy's back there. He says, he goes, I got a lot to say about Chad Gable tonight. And I'm going to say it. Oh, hi, Bronson Reed. How are you? What do you want to say? Bronson Reed walks in. He says, you know, I want a shot at that Intercontinental title. It's soon to be mine. And Sammy says, anytime, any place. Bronson walks away. Sammy starts talking again. And then Bronson takes out Sami Zayn.
Oh, no, he's back.
Yeah. So yeah, I do. Kathy Kelly's scream though felt like I was like, oh my god, somebody make sure Kathy's okay.
Yes, Jesus, she's in danger. I hope
next up, we have Alpha Academy coming out to the ring with Chad Gable.
Ooh, this is cringy.
Cringy in a what kind of way?
Like, oh, come on, leave him alone, Chad. Come on.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Definitely. So Chad is explaining what happened last week, but he's doing it kind of in his perspective, saying, you know, Sammy didn't have to do what he did. He didn't have to rub that win in my face by hugging his wife.
He laid the belt in front of me
and rubbed my face in it. So
he has a nerve to celebrate.
So then he starts running down his Alpha Academy teammates. You know, he says, if I had better help, maybe I would have won this title. Runs down Tozawa, you know, kind of says, you know, you come out, you do your dance, and then you lose.
He has a point.
Then he looks at Maxine Dupri. He says, pretty as a princess, but dumb as a rock. And
ouch.
The entire arena was just like, did he just say something bad about Maxine? Yeah. I feel like Maxine's like everyone's little sister in wrestling. Like,
yeah,
somebody better fucking stand. Somebody did. But you know what I mean? Like, seeing that, I was like, okay, this guy's got heel heat with me now. I don't like this guy.
Did his job.
And then he starts running down Otis, of all people.
His prized pupil.
He starts running him down. You know, saying next time you guys are gonna are the main focus of this group is now getting the title on me. And you know, he wanted Otis to be the one to say, like, we understand, and he did. But man, I can't wait to see Otis just lay his ass out.
Oh yeah, he's gonna lose his shit eventually.
Yeah. So then we have Ricochet and Andrade versus Santos and JD McDonagh. This is an okay match, I thought, but like I said, this was it turned in from a Dominic Ricochet angle to a Andrade Santos Escobar angle. You know, so pretty much WWE tag team match. We do see a lot of tag team work from Ricochet and Andrade, which you don't normally see because these guys used to kick each other's asses in NXT.
Yeah.
The heels set up both faces on the top turnbuckles. Ricochet hits a hurricane run to Santos, which leads directly to JD McDonagh. Ricochet hits the double underhook, Andrade hits the double underhook DDT and gets the pin and the win. After the match, Damian Priest comes out and lays everybody out. Well, not Dominic or JD or
the rivals.
Yeah, and did he lay Santos out? I can't remember.
I believe he didn't lay. Not Santos. Wait. I think Santos was quipped out.
But then he looks over at Dominic, says something to him in Spanish, which I didn't get at first because don't speak the language. But then you hear JD goes, What did he say?
I'll tell you what I said.
I'll tell you what I said. He goes, I don't need you guys. You guys need me. So this breakup for Judgment Day is imminent.
Yeah.
It's going to happen any day now. So
either that or we get a reincarnation with Finn Balor as the leader.
True. I think, though, Judgment Day can't go through another reincarnation because it's gone through a few. Like, it was, remember, it used to be like Edge's team? It was like Edge, Damian, and Rhea.
Yeah, and they were like devil worshiper cult.
Yeah. He was supposed to be the devil.
Yeah, then they got Finn, and we were led to believe that Finn was supposed to be the leader, but he wasn't. Yeah, he wasn't. It was a team thing. Then they went into the, you know, the leaders of Raw, and now we have this.
Yeah. Next up, we have Jackie Redmond backstage with Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell. They're kind of talking about last week, you know, the heel victory they got, and talking about tonight how, you know, tonight's not a tag team match. Tonight's every woman for themselves. And they're trying to, what are you trying to imply, Jackie? And that's when a brawl breaks out between Liv Morgan and Nia Jax. And then Becky Lynch just, this whole segment is weird. Okay. So
it is, but I kind of liked it.
I loved it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like I said, Jackie Redmond's interviewing Indy and Candice, brawl between Liv and Nia behind them. And then Candice and Indy walk away. And then Becky Lynch walks up. She's like, how you doing, Jackie?
She doesn't walk. She struts.
She struts up. Okay. She struts up and goes, oh, hi, Jackie. Can I take this microphone for you for a second? And she starts walking to the ring saying how there's going to be a lot of chaos backstage tonight. And there's going to be a lot of chaos in the ring tonight, especially in the ring. And then she stops and sees Ivy Nile and Maxine Dupri off to the side. And I swear, this put a smile on my face.
Yes.
Because Becky Lynch walks up to Maxine Dupree and she looked her in the eye and she goes, tonight's your first shot at a world championship, right? And she goes, yes. And she goes, do everything you can to make them know that this is not your last shot at a world championship. And they really needed it. After that Chad Gable thing, if they didn't do this, I would have thought, like, that's really fucked up what they did to Maxine on the show.
Yeah.
But the fact that they really highlighted her on tonight's show,
yeah, they did.
Above all, a lot of the other women.
Mm-hmm.
Good job. So she walks to the
room. Who else gets highlighted really quick before we get into it is Chelsea Green. She got some good screen time and good smarts in ring. Yeah.
So Chelsea Green, you know, Piper, there's all these women are just chaos walking in the ring. Becky Lynch walks to the ring, and that's when we get the announcement of next week. We're going to have Andrade and Ricochet and Jey Uso, the WWE 2K24 random team of the week versus the Judgment Day. And we're also going to have Logan Paul on Monday Night Raw. Hooray. I wonder what they're giving away by telling us that.
Yeah. That was
Intercontinental dope. Title. Sammy's going to SmackDown.
Yeah.
Logan's coming over.
Yep.
So, so the main event, Women's Battle Royal. A lot of women in this. Like I said, I don't have all the names, but, you know, Becky Lynch, Nia Jax, Candice.
14? 14 yeah, total?
I believe Natalya was in it. Like I said, Maxine Dupree, I believe she had, what, like 3 or 4 eliminations? I know she eliminated Candice and Indy.
Yes.
She eliminated someone else, and she had some good offense on Nia Jax.
It failed in the end, but it was there. It was existing. Somebody got offense on her. Yeah, cool.
So, okay, this is what I'm thinking, and just mm-hmm. hear me out.
Okay.
I wonder what it was that made Maxine go out there and do that. Was it Becky Lynch, or was it that, like, toxic coaching that Gable gave her? Some people do respond better to that kind of stuff, and I wonder if that's the angle that they're going to go. I'm sure it's the Becky Lynch thing.
Yeah, you know, but you know, Chad did make it a point to be like, this is why you came to me for some honest criticism,
honest feedback. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And but nonetheless, it came down to Nia Jax, Liv Morgan, and Becky Lynch in the match. There was that one spot though where was it Nia, like, Samoan dropped Piper Niven into Becky Lynch, who was on the table.
Yeah, that didn't break.
Oh my, well, because first doesn't she, like, try to powerbomb Becky through the table, and then she's like Samoan drops Piper Niven into Becky, and it still doesn't break.
Yes.
Everyone's running over to Becky and like, are you okay?
Our prized possession.
She's like, it's fine. I'm casting my residuals from that book. Have you read the book, by the way? Or have you?
I haven't gotten a chance.
Listen to it on Spotify. It's pretty good. I started listening to it as I do my I do DoorDash on the side. I listen to it when I do my driving, and it's really good because it's her talking.
Oh, cool.
Doing the narrating, and pretty cool.
All right. So, yeah, I look forward to it.
So Liv Morgan and Becky Lynch both double teamed Nia, and then eventually Liv and Becky were on the apron, and Becky gives Liv Morgan a manhandle slam, which I was like, it was funny because I was looking at it and I was like, what makes a finishing move a finishing move?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, they just, is it because she hit her at the right angle? Like, all she does is just, like, go down.
It's like, yeah, lay down. It's like, it's almost a half-ass choke slam.
Like, what's the difference between a rock bottom and a choke slam? Like, I know, like, we're getting too into the weeds, but, like, I want to hear the actual philosophy behind it. Like, well, a finishing move, this guy's been perfecting this technique and angle. I don't know, but that's all I kept thinking about, because it was a really bad manhandle slam because it was on the edge of the apron. And, like, she literally just, like, go down. Yeah.
And then Liv had to, like, maneuver herself as to not trip Becky.
Yeah.
But a buddy of mine actually brought this up. I don't know if you noticed. I didn't notice. But when they were both on the apron, it seems as though Liv got thrown over the top and she was on the edge. But Becky went under the middle rope under the top rope.
I
got to watch it again. I'm not 100% sure. This is what my buddy pointed out to me. They got me. Maybe it was a precautionary move.
Definitely.
just in case Liv kind of, you know, oops, I dropped her.
Yeah, look, we're not having a Royal Rumble 94 again.
Yeah, yeah. Let's make sure we cover all our bases here. Becky, go.
Yokozuna under- cannot wrestle twice in one night again, okay? You're right. And also, one thing I didn't mention, because I didn't see it, but I saw it later after the show. We got another, like, QR code glitching tease with a picture of Sister Abigail. When did it happen? Well, apparently it led to a picture of Sister Abigail.
Oh, when did it happen?
I don't know. Like I said, I don't know exactly during the show, but I saw it afterwards.
Yeah, this is what happens when you fast forward.
These glitches are just like that, though. And when you fast forward a little bit, you miss it.
I know that when who got slammed into the into the ring apron, aka the little screen.
Oh, that was Kaiser or Vinci.
Right. There was like static on the screen. I wonder if that's what happened. That's probably what happened, right.
Yeah. But you know, it's to be more and more like I think we're getting a Wyatt family reunion. I think we're gonna get Strowman. I think we're gonna get Luke Harper. Sorry, we're not getting Luke. Eric Rowan, we're gonna get Braun, we're gonna get Bo and Alexa.
Alexa, yeah. After the draft. After the draft. So Becky winning, right choice, wrong choice.
Well, I mean, what were they going to do? Put it on Liv? Put it on Maxine? Maxine? No. Nia? They could have put it on Nia if they wanted to, but how much would be would everybody the next day be like, Nia Jax is the new world? What the?
That would have been me.
Yeah, would have been me too.
But yeah, no, I really think that the reason why they put it on Becky was because they had this whole storyline laid out with Rhea and Liv. This way they kind of get a version of that.
Yeah.
And, so, and you know, she substitute.
And yeah, you can have Liv go over eventually on Becky, you know?
Yeah. As she was going to go over on Rhea, I think, anyway.
Especially if you have her working with Dominic now, Liv and Dominic. It could definitely happen. And then having Rhea come back to get her title and her man back.
Yeah. And her Judgment Day in case Liv takes
and her, her man, her title, and her day.
There you go.
She wants it all back.
Yes.
But she can't do it until she gets healed. So get soon, Rhea.
How quickly things disintegrate in a week.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah. A week and a half ago, Rhea was on top of the fucking world, you know? And then all of a sudden, Liv just threw her shoulder first into the wall. And, well, there you go.
Everything else, yeah.
Well, I think that about does it here for us today at City Wrestling Radio. Thank you, as always, for joining and listening. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe for City Wrestling Radio. My name is Corey Smith.
I am Jose Segura.
And we will see you next time. Take care. Have a wonderful day. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.